Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin Mani, member by Ram Goldar, and today Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Tes, the ninth parak HaGozel Eitzim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah taught that if one stole from his father and swore to deny it, and his father died, he must return the theft to other heirs. The Gemara asks, Nimchal Nafshe, let him forgive himself this payment, since a Mishnah taught that if the victim forgave the robber for the principal amount, but not the chomesh, he need not presume to madai. Yochanan answered that they reflect two opinions in a brisa discussing someone who stole from a ger and sworn to Nala, who died without heirs, where the payment is ordinarily given to Kohanim. If the robbery payment was converted to a standard debt, and then the ger died, Rav Yossi Agui says the Gazlan acquires the payment for himself, since the ger's assets become hefker. Rav Kiva says he must still make the payment, so they disagree if a Gazlan may forgive his payment. Rav Yochanan assumes the same machlokes applies where the robbery payment was not converted to a debt, and where the victim forgives the robber. Rav Sheshes objects to this interpretation and instead explain that both Mishnayos are Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Rabbi Yossi only allows the victim to forgive the Gazlan, but a Gazlan cannot forgive himself, except for the Brisa's case where it was converted to a debt. Rav explains that both Mishnayos are Rabbi Akiva. Point number two is taught in a Brisa, Hare Shahaya Gozel Kohen, where the robber of a convert who died without heirs was a Kohen. What is the source he cannot say, Oyel V'yotzi Kohanim, since the robbery payment of a ger goes to the Kohanim of the current Mishmar, Rahu Takuz Yodi, and this robbery is already in my possession, Yeshali, let it be mine, and not be divided with the Mishmar. The Braisa presents two Kavachomers to indicate the Kohen should keep the entire payment, but refutes them, concluding that the payment is divided among the Mishmar. The Maras, since a Pasuk, which we're going to bring, teaches that a Kohen may always bring his own carbon, then this Kohen may bring his carbon Ashem, and the robbery payment is always rewarded to whoever brings the Ashem. Ultimately, it's derived through a gezerah shava, l'kohen from the law of Se'achuza, an ancestral field. If someone is makdish his field and does not redeem it, it's divided among Kohanim and the Mishmar at the beginning of Yovel. A drasha teaches that even if a kohen bought it before Yovel, it's still divided among the Mishmar. And point number three was taught in a brisa, Menayin l'kohen shabau makrib korbanosav b'kol eis u'b'kol sha'a shiyirtze. From where do we derive that a kohen may come and offer his own karbanos at any time and any moment he wishes, even not while his Mishmar is serving? The Pasuk says, Ubabako avas nafsho v'sheres, and the Kohen shall come whenever his soul desires and minister. Umanayin shavodasuba ora shalo, and from where do we derive that the reward for its service, meaning its meat, and its hide belong to him? The Pasuk says, V'isha es kadash v'lohiyu, and a man's holies shall be his. The Braisa says that this teaches that even a balmum who cannot perform a vodah himself, and so cannot even appoint another Kohen to bring his carbon, rather it's given to the current Mishmar, still retains the meat and hide for himself, since he's fit to eat kachin. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah taught that if one stole from his father and swore to deny it, and his father died, he must return the theft to the other heirs. The Gemara asks, Nimchal Nafshe, let him forgive himself this payment, since a Mishnah taught that if the victim forgave the robber for the principal amount, but not the chomesh, he need not presume to madai. Yochanan answered that they reflect two opinions in a brisa discussing someone who stole from a ger and sworn to Nala, who died without heirs, where the payment is ordinarily given to Kohanim. If the robbery payment was converted to a standard debt, and then the ger died, Rav Yossi Agui says the Gazlan acquires the payment for himself, since the ger's assets become hefker. Rav Kiva says he must still make the payment, so they disagree if a Gazlan may forgive his payment. Rav Yochanan assumes the same machlokes applies where the robbery payment was not converted to a debt, and where the victim forgives the robber. Rav Sheshes objects to this interpretation and instead explain that both Mishnayos are Rav Yossi Haglili. Rav Yossi only allows the victim to forgive the Gazlan, but a Gazlan cannot forgive himself, except for the Brisa's case where it was converted to a debt. Rav explains that both Mishnayos are Rabbi Akiva. Point number two is taught in a Brisa, Hare Shahaya Gozel Kohen, where the robber of a convert who died without heirs was a Kohen. What is the source he cannot say, Oyel V'yotzi Kohanim, since the robbery payment of a ger goes to the Kohanim of the current Mishmar, Rahu Takuz Yodi, and this robbery is already in my possession, Yeshali, let it be mine, and not be divided with the Mishmar. The Braisa presents two Kavachomers to indicate the Kohen should keep the entire payment, but refutes them, concluding that the payment is divided among the Mishmar. The Maras, since a Pasuk, which we're going to bring, teaches that a Kohen may always bring his own carbon, then this Kohen may bring his carbon Ashem, and the robbery payment is always rewarded to whoever brings the Ashem. Ultimately, it's derived through a gezerah shava, l'kohen from the law of Se'achuza, an ancestral field. If someone is makdish his field and does not redeem it, it's divided among Kohanim and the Mishmar at the beginning of Yovel. A drasha teaches that even if a Kohen bought it before Yovel, it's still divided among the Mishmar. And point number three, it was taught in the Brisa, "Minayin l'kohen shabah u'makriv korbanosav b'kol eis u'b'kol sha'a shi'yirtzeh." From where do we derive that a kohen may come and offer his own karbanos at any time and any moment he wishes, even not while his mishmer is serving? The pasuk says, "U'ba b'kol avas nafsho v'sheres," and the kohen shall come whenever his soul desires and minister. "U'minayin shavod esuba ora shalo," and from where do we derive that the reward for its service, meaning its meat, and its hide belong to him? The pasuk says, "V'isha es kadosh v'lo hiyu," and a man's holies shall be his. The Brisa says that this teaches that even a Baal Mum who cannot perform a vodah himself, and so cannot even appoint another kohen to bring his carbon, rather it's given to the Kurim Mishmar, still retains the meat and hide for himself, since he's fit to eat kadshim. All right, so now we go to Simur Daf Kuf Tes, and this one was suggested to us by Yaakov Leder from Nof Ayalon, Jacob Selesny from Herzliya, and by Aaron Warso from Queens. They all suggested that Kuf Tes is a Hatzalah kit. So here goes. The Hatzalah member who just declared a man dead and was shocked to hear the dead man's son, who had previously stolen from his father and sworn denial, attempting to mochel himself the payment. Near the Hatzalah kit, where a mishmar of Kohanim were dividing the payment that was given to them by a fellow Kohen who had robbed the ger, who subsequently died. Across the street from where an off-duty Kohen was on his way to bring a carbon, anticipating getting the meat and the hides. Once again, slow motion. The Hatzalah member, Hatzalah, that must be run off Kuf Tes, Hatzalah kit. The Hatzalah member who just declared a man dead and was shocked to hear the dead man's son, who had previously stolen from his father and sworn denial, attempting to mochel himself the payment, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether a gazlan can forgive a robbery payment to himself, such as in the case where one stole from his father and swore to deny it, and then his father died. So the Hatzalah member who just declared a man dead and was shocked to hear the dead man's son, who had previously stolen from his father and sworn denial, attempt to bemochel himself the payment. Near the Hatzalah kit, where a mishmar of Kohanim were dividing the payment that was given to them by a fellow Kohen who had robbed a ger who subsequently died, which reminds us, if a Kohen robs a ger who subsequently dies without heirs, it's the current mishmar that divides the payment, and this Kohen cannot keep the payment himself. So the Hatzalah member who just declared a man dead and was shocked to hear the dead man's son who had previously stolen from his father and sworn denial, attempt to bemochel himself the payment. Near the Hatzalah kit, where a mishmar of Kohanim were dividing the payment that was given to them by a fellow Kohen who had robbed the ger, who subsequently died. Across the street from where an off-duty Kohen was on his way to bring a carbon, anticipating getting the meat and the hides. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses from where we know that a Kohen may bring a carbon at any time, not even during his mishmar, and that he gets to keep its meat and hides. So once again, the Hatzalah member who just declared a man dead and was shocked to hear the dead man's son who had previously stolen from his father and sworn denial, attempting to bemochel himself the payment. Near the Hatzalah kit, where a mishmar of Kohanim were dividing the payment that was given to them by a fellow Kohen who had robbed a ger who subsequently died. Across the street from where an off-duty Kohen was on his way to bring a carbon, anticipating getting the meat and the hides. All right, so now it's time for our four blah blah chazara. Kuf Hei, so the Simur Daf Kuf Hei is a Russian hacker. So here goes. The Russian who hacked, a Russian who hacked, a Russian hacker? That must be Simur Daf Kuf Hei. The Russian who hacked into the thief's computer and discovered that he had stolen three bundles worth three prutos, which decreased in value to two prutos, and had only returned two of them, which reminds us, Rava taught, if someone stole three bundles worth three prutos, and they decreased to a total value of two prutos, and he returned two of them, he must still return the other one despite being worth less than a pruta, since it had a pruta's value when it was stolen. So the Russian who hacked into the thief's computer and discovered that he had stolen three bundles worth three prutos, which decreased in value to two prutos, and had only returned two of them, and found a picture of the thief swearing falsely about having stolen chametz after became Aser Bahana, which reminds us, Rava asked, Nishba Lav Mao, if one swore falsely about having stolen chametz which had become Aser Bahana, what is the lach? Do we say since if it would be stolen from him, he would have to pay its original value, and therefore it's considered denying a monetary liability? Or do we say that since the chametz is here and can be returned in its worthless form, it is not a monetary denial? So the Russian who hacked into the thief's computer and discovered that he had stolen three bundles worth three prutos, which decreased in value to two prutos, and had only returned two of them, and found a picture of the thief swearing falsely about having stolen chametz after it became Aser Bahana, realized by hacking into a security camera that the reason he swore falsely to deny pikadon was to stall for time and retrieve it from a swamp. Which reminds us, Rav Sheshe said, a kofer bikadon, one who falsely denies having a deposit in his possession, nasa lav gazlan, he's become a gazlan through his denial, even without swearing, v'chai ba'onzin, he's chayiv for unavoidable mishaps which befall it. Rami Bar Chama challenged him from a mission which lists someone who swore falsely to deny pikadon as someone who is chashud al shvua, suspect in regard to oaths. According to Rav Sheshes, he's considered a gazan who's disqualified from swearing through his mere denial, even without swearing. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah's case is where the pikadon was in a swamp, and his denial was not to steal it, but to stall for time until he retrieves it. When he denies a pikadon in his possession, he is immediately considered a gazlan. Daf Kuf Vav. So the Sim Daf Kuf Vav is a tightrope walker walking a fine line, a cove. So here goes. The tightrope walker, that must be on Daf Kuf Vav, cove, line, walking a fine line. The tightrope walker who told two Edim standing on the platform that it was too late to testify against him since he had already sworn denial to a claim embased, and which reminds us, Rav Huna said in Rav's name, if one says to his fellow, mana libi yadcha, a mana of mine is in your possession, and the defendant denies it and swears, and afterwards Edim testify against him, he's patur from paying because the pasuk says, v'lakach bala b'lo yishalim, and its owner shall accept it, and he shall not pay, which teaches, kevin shekibul habam shvua shuv ein mashal mamun. Once the owner has accepted a shvua, the defendant no longer pays money. So the tightrope walker who told two Edim standing on the platform that it was too late to testify against him since he already sworn denial to a claim him based in, walked high above where a thief below who shechted a stolen animal after Basin had told him to pay the victim was told he was putter from Dalad Behe, which reminds us, where a thief stood for judgment and was found guilty and was told to pay, shechting afterwards would not obligate Dalad Behe. So the tightrope walker who told two Edim standing on the platform that it was too late to testify against him, since he already sworn denial to a claim, embasin, walked high above where a thief below who shechted a stolen animal after Basin had told him to pay the victim was told he was putter from Dal the Hay, and saw a shomer refuse to take an oath when his little son claimed he had given the shomer his little balancing beam to watch, which reminds us of Brisa Darshan's the pasuk ki yiten ish, if a man shall give someone a pikadon, teaching ein asinus katan klum, a minor's giving of a pikadon is nothing, meaning a shomer would not swear about such a pikadon nor pay kefal for tolan tainas ganav. Daf Kuf Zayin. So the simmer Daf Kuf Zayin is couscous. So here goes. The couscous restaurant owner couscous, that must be one Daf Kuf Zayin. The couscous restaurant owner who is motive a mixes to his creditor because he was not so brazen to deny the whole loan to his face, which reminds us, Rabbi explained, Mifnei ma amra Torah mona b'miksa satana yishava. Why do the Torah say that one who admits to a part of a claim must swear about his denial? Chazaka inad meiz pana bifnei balchobo. It's because there's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to deny his obligation to the face of his creditor. Rashi explains, because he lent him money. Thus completely denying a loan is believed without swearing. So the couscous restaurant owner who was motive and mixes to his creditor, because he was not so brazen to deny the whole loan to his face, overheard four shomrim seated at a table eating couscous say that they only swear when they are motive and mixes, which reminds us where Bechir Barabba taught that the Torah required swearing about a bikadon even for a full denial. Yochan disagreed and said that a shomer chinam who falsely swears that the item was stolen from him, eno chayv ad sheyikfor b'miksas v'yodu b'miksas, he's not liable to pay kefal unless he denies part of the claim and admits to part of the claim, because the pasuk says, ki hu zeh, this is it, regarding the shomer chinam's false claim, which is where he pays kefal. Similarly, Rami Bar Chama said, arba shomrim srichin kafir b'miksas v'hoda b'miksas. The four shomrim of the Torah require partial denial and partial admission to become obligated to swear, but would not swear for a full denial. So, the couscous restaurant owner who was motive b'miksas to his creditor because he was not so brazen to deny the whole loan to his face, overheard four shomrim seated at a table eating couscous say that they only swear when they are motive b'miksas. When his shomer chinam came forward to pay him kefal after he falsely swore, the couscous supplies he was watching were stolen, when in fact he had used them to make his own couscous, which reminds us Rabbi Chir Bar Yosef says about a shomer chinam who falsely swears the item was stolen, eno chayv ad sheyishlach bo yad, he's not chayv to pay kefal unless he misappropriated, meaning he used it without permission before he swore. The Torah requires a shomer chinam swears imo shalach yadu b'malachas re'eu, that he did not lay his hand upon his fellow's property, which implies that the kefal penalty for swearing falsely, which falls, is where he did misappropriate the pikadon. Rabbi Chir Bar Abba said that Rabbi Yochanan held, he's liable be'omedes al-avusa, where the watched animal is standing by the trough, meaning where it was not used. Daf Kufches, so the simmer Daf Kufches relates to kach, taking, and we use a pickpocket. So here goes. The pickpocket, that must be more on Daf Kufches. The pickpocket who stole a wallet from a rabbi while he was debating whether it's the mammon or shvuah that obligates a toh and tainas ganav to pay kefal, and not the chomesh, which reminds us, a brais on daf kuvav amanav taught that where a shomer is toh and tainas ganav and pays kefal, he does not also pay a chomesh for admitting. Rami Bar Chama asked, is it the money which obligates him in kefal that exempts him from the chomesh, or is it the shvuah which obligates him in kefal that exempts him from the chomesh? Can both payments not be obligated by the same money or by the same shvuah? So the pickpocket who stole a wallet from a rabbi while he was debating whether it's the mammon or shvuah that obligates the toh and tainas ganav to pay kefal and not the chomesh, and then stole the kefal in the pocket of a shomer who was paid by a thief after the shomer swore an item was stolen and then paid for it voluntarily, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, if the owner sued the shomer to return his pikadon, the nishba v'shilem, and he swore that it was stolen, exempting himself, and then paid for it voluntarily, and the thief was later identified, to whom is the kefal paid? Abai says it's paid to the baal pikadons, for since he troubled the owner with a shvua, the owner does not transfer the kefal payment to him. Rava says it's paid to the one whose possession the pikadon was, meaning the shomer, kevan the shilem, for since he eventually paid for the pikadon, machni lekvelet, the owner transfers the kefal payment to him. So the pickpocket who stole a wall from a rabbi while he was debating whether it's the mammon or shvuah that obligates a toh and tainas ganav to pay kefal and not the chomesh, and then stole the kefal in the pocket of a shomer who was paid by a thief after the shomer swore an item was stolen and then paid for it voluntarily, decided not to pursue the shomer who swore an item was stolen since the thief admitted to the theft after he was caught and didn't have to pay kefal, even though he later denied the theft to the owner, which reminds us. The Gemara discusses a shomer who swore the pikadon was stolen and the thief was discovered. Then the shomer sued the thief to return it and he admitted to his theft. Then the owner sued him and he denied the theft and Adim later testified to the theft. Is the thief exempt from kefal through his confession to the shomer, or did the shomer's role end when he swore? So the admission was not to a litigant. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf do we discuss whether a guzzlin's confession to the owner or shomer exempts him from kefal? That's on daf Kufches. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you mean that a minor's giving of a pikadon is considered nothing, meaning a shomer would not swear about such a pikadon nor pay kefal for toh and tainas ganav? That's on daf Kuvav. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you mean a shomer should not send money back to the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner shaliach? That's on daf Kufdal. Good. Number 4. Which of the one that when a Kohen steals from a ger who dies without heirs, the payment is divided by the current mishmar? That's on daf Kuftes. Good. Number 5. Which of the one, according to Rabbi Chiba Yosef, a shomer chinam who is toh and tainas ganav, he's not chayv to pay kefal unless there was shlichas yad? That's on daf Kufzain. Good. Number 6. Which of the one, a son who stole from his father and sworn denial and then the father died, he cannot be mocha the payment to himself? That's on daf Kuftes. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you discuss what the din is when one swears he did not steal chametz, which is now worthless? That's on daf Kufhe. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you when the sources that a Kohen can bring a carbon whenever he wants and he gets to keep the meat and hides? That's on daf Kuftes. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you when about Amoraim who hold the laws of Shomrim require Hodab and Mixas? That's on daf Kuvzain. Good. Number 10. Which daf do you discuss whether it's the mammon or shvuah which obligates kefal that exempts from chomesh? That's on daf Kuvches. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Ram Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.